T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Well, we've been talking mostly about opening day today. Pirates, Reds, where would you say our predictions have landed? I don't know. If we talked to 20, 25 people, including our own, I'd say generally it's low to mid 70s, Fulzy. Yes?
Yeah, I would say like average is probably 77-ish.
What's high 70s? That's, people have been very optimistic, I will say that, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess our earlier calls were much more optimistic than our later calls.
Was the 88 win guy sober?
Doubtful.
I mean, that's crazy.
That's a lot.
But it is a better team, and it's for me, and I know for you too, a way more interesting team. And what an interesting opening day lineup with Kanan Smith and Jigba batting fifth. And starting in right field. Let's learn a little bit more about that decision and about him from our friend and yours, Dr. Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette. He's on the Nemecolon fan hotline. Nemecolon around every corner creates real-life magic for guests. He's in Cincinnati. Tell us about Smith and Jigba. Jason, this is, to me, that was the thing that jumped out about the opening day lineup.
Yeah, it did to me too, Joe. And here's where I come down on it. I mean, the Pirates need to win more games. You guys have been talking about it. They've been talking about it. Okay. Well, he's been their best hitter in spring training, so why not put him in a prominent spot? I don't totally love over time having Ke'Bryan Hayes hit sixth, but right now, given what we've seen for the past month plus, Kanan Smith and Jigba deserves to be in a run-producing capacity. And who knows? Maybe he does it. It's a little bit of an unnatural situation right now with Andrew McCutchen's elbow injury, and they're trying to make it work with the DH and first base. But throw all of that out the window. Honestly, he's been one of their best hitters, so he's going to hit in a run-producing spot.
He came over in – are you still there, Jason?
I'm here. Yep.
He came over in the Tyone trade. His minor league numbers, I noticed across, I don't know, 1,200 at-bats are decent. Nothing jumps off the page, though. What kind of player is he? What kind of hitter is he? What are his main attributes?
Yeah, you know what? I'm glad you asked that, Joe, because he's an interesting, different kind of hitter. He's a bigger kid. He looks like somebody that should be a power hitter and maybe strike out a lot, but he can drive the ball pretty far. That's not the type of hitter he is. He's a very patient guy. You'll see him, theoretically, if things are going the way he wants them to, you know, have a high OBP. He should not strike out a lot. He should draw a lot of walks. He has decent power. He's gone to the opposite field with power a lot in spring training. But he kind of looks like he's built like a traditional home run hitter. I mean, his brother is Jackson Smith and Jigba. I think people know that, the Ohio State wide receiver. But he's, you know, he does more than just put the ball over the fence.
Yeah, he's got a pretty big lower half, if I do say so myself, Jason. He's got like some Jay wobble to him. You mentioned that he's built like a power hitter. Second base, Ji-Won Bae getting the start today over Rodolfo Castro. Is this going to be a straight platoon? Is this righty-lefty kind of split? What do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, I don't know if it's straight platoon, righty-lefty. I mean, I think it might be playing the hot hand. And they both bring something different, and I'm curious to see how that comes out. You know, Bay's going to be a slasher type. He's going to steal bases and move around. Castro theoretically has some power. I think you might see Bae move around the field a little bit more just because he's more capable. I think he's a better shortstop. He plays the outfield. Castro doesn't. But it's going to be whoever ends up taking hold of that position. Really, that's the way I see this going. If somebody gets hot, they're going to let him go. They're going to keep playing. And if, you know, if they both struggle, I think they're also going to keep rotating them, and who knows what the heck happens. But I'm curious to see. I mean, they staged a battle over spring training. Neither one of them won. I would say Bay finished stronger, but I think you're just going to kind of see, we'll bounce them around and see what sticks.
Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette, live from Cincy. Read his stuff at postgazette.com. Time right now, 12:13, brought to you by Gina Giampietro of RE/MAX Select Realty. All right, Jason, you expressed some optimism that Brian Reynolds would be signed within the last day. Where does that stand?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could give you a different answer other than, you know, I feel about the same as I did. There are active discussions. They're happening right now. They're expected to happen right up until first pitch. The ship has not sailed on anything. I tweeted out something last night about, you know, conversations involving the structure of the contract. And what I mean by that is, you know, talking about potential club options or no trade clauses, that sort of thing. How they weighed it. You see, Brian Hayes' contract is weighted in kind of a unique way, like more money now versus more money later, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I mean, I take that to mean that they are in the ballpark. And that's, I don't know, kind of a cliche term, but like, you know, we've seen teams negotiate not real contracts before, you know, throw out garbage deals just so they could say they offered something. This is not that. I truly believe the Pirates have genuine interest in keeping Brian Reynolds. I think Brian Reynolds has genuine interest in staying here. And given where this thing started and the fact that we're here, like on opening day, having conversations and there's a belief that a deal can get done, I still think it gets done, Joe. But it is going to be kind of white-knuckling to 410, that's for sure.
Does Ben Charrington, do the Pirates have any Steeler-like reluctance to negotiate in season?
No, but Reynolds does. We asked him a couple days ago, like, what's your feeling on negotiating in season? And he said he'd rather not. Nobody has like a hard and fast rule the way the Steelers do. We asked Charrington about this too. And he basically said, you know, he would. It's generally not the player's preference. So, I mean, it's very much viewed as first pitch is the deadline here. If something doesn't get done, like, I don't think Reynolds has any interest in talking further.
Unless, of course, $100 million comes down the pike toward him, right?
Well, I mean, $100 million has come down the pike toward him. You know, that's where they're at.
Are you saying the Pirates have made an offer of $100 million?
I can't say that with 100% certainty, Joe, but I have a tough time believing they're still talking if they did not. Think about that. Reynolds' camp was at 134, right? Pirates were at $80 million. If the Pirates hadn't moved $20 million, would Reynolds' camp really move 40 to be under 100? I mean, I'm pretty darn confident it's been over $100 million. And I think if this gets done, Joe, it will get done for over $100 million.
Hmm. That's an interesting little nugget.
I'll say.
I like that. Jason, how serious is the JT Brubaker injury? Is he possibly done for the year, as I'm seeing?
Yeah, I mean, it's not final. It's not done. Basically, what they're doing is they want to do more tests. They're still evaluating it. You know, with me being not a doctor, clearly, there are, I guess, routes they could go with, like, some sort of shot, rehab plan, that sort of deal, and they want to investigate whether those are possible. But I know that Tommy John is on the table. I know that, you know, I mean, if you're going to ask me my opinion, it's that he's going to end up being done for the year and having Tommy John. But I understand the team perspective of saying, like, this isn't final yet. We still have routes we can check, and I think they're going to go that way sort of before admitting what I think is ultimately going to happen.
Jason Mackey of the Post-Gazette on the line. How about today's matchup, today's pitching matchup specifically? Are we looking at, if Mitch Keller's rolling here, he gets to roll well over 100 pitches? Do you think, where do you think the pitch count might be? All of that.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, Joe. I actually asked Shelton that question the other day about, you know, has Mitch kind of become that guy? Because he and I have had discussions about the third time through the order, and they're very, you know, they're kind of persnickety with how many times they allow a guy to face hitters. And I said, has Mitch kind of disproved that for you? Like, is he, you know, you're going to let him go as long as he can go? And he said, it depends on his stuff. It depends on how his stuff looks that day, which is a bit of a cop-out, but I'd probably answer it the same way. And I would answer it to you that same way, Joe, that, you know, if his stuff looks really good, I don't think they're going to automatically pull him after two trips through the order. If his stuff is good, yeah, I think he could go over 100 pitches. Not a ton, just because of it being opening day. And I think he's, you know, he's probably maxed out in the 80 range, I want to say. I'd have to look back at my notes. But, you know, he could get to 100. I don't think he's going over like 105 or 108. But he could get to 100, sure.
Ke'Bryan Hayes batting sixth in today's lineup. What's the best fit for him, I guess? Like, if he is playing up to his potential, does he stay in that sixth spot? Where's best for him in that lineup?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Colsey. And I thought about that I think the best thing for the Pirates and the best thing for Hayes, and sort of where I expected this to land, was for Hayes to bat third and for Andrew McCutchen to bat sixth. I love Cruz leading off. I love Reynolds hitting second. I'm fine with Carlos Santana hitting cleanup. I think that's probably the best way to construct the lineup. I don't love hitting Cruz fourth, but, you know, then you look at the other spots. And Kanan, I'm fine with him hitting fifth. I don't know if I see Hayes there. I'd rather Hayes be your number three hitter. Like, I think he can be that. For right now, I understand what they're doing. I guess I get it. I mean, it does lengthen the lineup on the plus side. Like, Kanan can run a little bit. I know he's a bigger guy like we were talking about, but you put him in front of Ke'Bryan, and I mean, that should be sort of a second crack at producing some runs. So I'm good with it, but I think long term, Hayes probably lands at the third spot.
Interesting. I'm wondering about his season. There's a couple other guys I'm wondering about who aren't even here yet, and I keep picturing Endy Rodriguez in that third spot. Do you think middle of the order type bats will arrive from AAA, at least one, let's say by midseason, Jason?
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how you want to classify middle of the order type bats. Like, will Endy Rodriguez eventually be that? Yes, I believe he will, and I believe he'll be here by midseason. Do I expect him to hit in the number three hole, like, right away? No. I'll give him some grade. If he's hitting 6-7 early on, I'm totally fine with it. And then if he disproves that and you put your best hitters in the best spots, let's move him. But yeah, I mean, he's the one I look at, Joe, that he's going to be up here and he's going to produce. I don't know if I look at Nick Gonzalez right now, like if he's going to come up there and be like a middle of the order hitter. I think that's a big ask. Probably the same for Henry Davis. But Endy's the one I look at and think he could come up there and do that eventually. I just don't think they do it right away.
All right, Jason, brightest pitching future, Rowanzi Contreras, Johan Oviedo, Luis Ortiz.
Oh, boy. Folsy, you're killing me with this one, man. That's a good question. Putting me on the spot. You got to give me 5 seconds to vamp.
No, it's all right.
I think I'm still going to go Row, man. I do. And it's tough because I think the world of the other two, but you know, at his best, Rowe's throwing 97, and not that the others aren't. Ortiz is throwing 100. But I like Contreras' command of the other stuff. I think he's got the best pitch of any of the ones anybody throws in his slider. And a really good curveball that I wish he'd use more. His changeup has looked much better than Ortiz's. I think there's a possibility Ortiz could eventually end up as a reliever, although not yet. But I just, you know, it's not a mark against the other guys. I just think that highly of Rowanzi Contreras.
Couple of contract questions, Jason. And I hate to bring up an inconvenient truth here, but Mitch Keller only has 2 years of team control left, which means based on Pirates history, starting next season would be the logical time to start talking about whether they're going to sign him or trade him. What's going to happen with him?
Yeah, that's an interesting one, Joe. I would not rule out them extending him, although I have not heard anything that they're close or that's something that's possible for right now. I hope I'm wrong and they keep it under wraps and they sign him. I mean, I think that's an avenue that they would eventually like to get to. I just don't, like, right now, everything that I've heard of them contract-related has been Brian Reynolds, and that includes O'Neill Cruz. Like, I haven't heard much on Cruz. That's not to say the discussions haven't happened. I just haven't heard about it. I think ultimately for Keller, I mean, it buys you a little bit of time. This might be one of the ones where you do think about it in season. You know, trying to get something by the deadline. He's trying to pitch opening day. I don't know. I don't know if it's the right time. You've also got Reynolds. Like, if you go to him midway through this season and he's having a really good year, that's one you could get done. I don't see an issue there, and I think that makes a lot of sense for them to get it done. But I don't sense that as, like, you know, something that's imminent, that's for sure.
All right, let's talk Cruz. because the Pirates have a history that goes back a ways, I might add, to McCutchen, to Polanco, to Marte, of trying to lock up a really talented young player with some risk at a bargain rate for the club. Wander Franco signed an 11-year, $182 million contract with the Rays last year. Do you think the Pirates want to do that with Cruz, and have there been any overtures?
That's a tough one to answer, Joe. Honestly, I've not gotten a ton of intel on the Cruz stuff, and I don't want to sit here and talk to you and pretend like I have. I can tell you, from my understanding of it, I mean, they would not be against anything like that. They value Cruz and would like to keep him around here for a long, long time. Have they gotten close to that actually happening? Again, that's the piece that I can't quite put together. And the Reynolds thing, I do think it gums up the works, although I don't mean it like that. What I mean is just you need to figure it out before you know what you have with Cruz. And if you wait a year on Cruz, I don't think it's the biggest crime. Let's say he has a sophomore slump. I don't think that makes Cruz a bad player, and I think it means the Pirates could potentially get him at a huge discount. Even if he has kind of an up-and-down season, they could still get a lot more. So if you figure Reynolds out now and then you figure Cruz out, like, even if Cruz has like a tremendous season, I still think that deal could be had. And I think it would make a heck of a lot more sense to do it next season when you've got more cost certainty and that sort of deal, and you know what you're doing with Reynolds. So anyway, I think they want to have the conversation. It's just, again, there's nothing trickling out that anything is imminent. That's for sure.
One more from me, Jason. And as you can tell, I'm very intrigued by this young pitching. And I'll go with Quinn Priester or Mike Burrows' brighter pitching future. And is either one of them a top-of-the-rotation piece, you think?
Oh, boy. Oh, Folesy. I'll go Quinn Priester if you make me pick one that I think has a brighter future. I really like this kid's makeup. I've gotten to know him well since the Pirates drafted him in 2019. I've gotten to know his parents and where he's come from and that sort of thing. And like, I've also gotten to know Musgrove and Tyone and Cole and these Pirates guys that I think people think the world of. Quinn is right there. He's right there in physical tools and makeup and in how he carries himself, how he thinks about the game. The only thing he's not there with is just experience. He needs to pitch at AAA. He's only made two starts there. He's going to be an elite pitcher at this level. I'm fully confident of it. He's built the right way as five legitimate pitches, not like two and a half. Like he did when he came out of school. So I like Priester a lot. Like the question about the other pitchers, it's not the slam Burrows. I think Priester's going to be a star.
Jason, we appreciate the time. Enjoy your visit to Cincy. Should be very, very interesting today. Thanks, man.
All right, guys. Have a great one. Thanks for having me.
Jason Mackey. That Reynolds stuff was very interesting, wasn't it?
It makes sense what he's saying, right? That they wouldn't still be having these intense conversations. The door would still not be open if
are they having intense conversations? That's the part I wonder about.
Maybe not intense.
Did the Pirates make a firm offer of over $100 million? That's the part I question here, Folesy. Let's talk about it, shall we? And let's talk about how soon is the right time to try to sign Cruz long-term, if any, within the next year. 412-928-9370. And Bud Dupree has posted a very interesting photo of himself on Instagram. I'll tell you what's going on there.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got
you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Jason Mackey, for the second straight guest appearance with us, dropping an eye-opener. The other day he said 50 to 55% that
dropping
Reynolds...
Dropping a bomb, some might say.
Yeah, a Mackey.
On us.
A Mackey bomb. The other day, better than a 50% chance Reynolds would be signed before opening day. And then today, saying the talks are still, he gave the impression talks are intense right now. And he believes that the Pirates have already gone to $100 million in their offer.
We have the clip if you want to hear it.
Let's hear it. Are you saying the Pirates have made an offer of $100 million?
I can't say that with 100% certainty, Joe, but I have a tough time believing they're still talking if they did not. Think about that. Reynolds' camp was at 134, right? Pirates were at $80 million. If the Pirates hadn't moved $20 million, would Reynolds' camp really move 40 to be under 100? I mean, I'm pretty darn confident it's been over 100 million. And I think if this gets done, Joe, it will get done for over $100 million.
I'm not. And he has way more connections than me. He's the beat writer, as they say. Not you, Fulzy, him. I am not confident that they have made a firm offer of $100 million or above, and I'm not confident that this gets done today.
I'm not confident it gets done today. I don't think it is going to get done today.
I'm very unconfident, let's put it that way, on both those matters. What if they adjusted the years? What if they said, well, you take $90 million over five? That's $18 million a year.
Reasonable.
You know, I mean, yeah. I'm just not convinced of that. I'm not confident he's going to get signed here. And he made it sound like the Pirates don't have a Steeler-like objection to negotiating in season, but that Reynolds doesn't want to do it.
He said that flat out, that Reynolds doesn't want to do it in season.
What do you make of all of this?
Oh, man, I don't know what to make of all of it, to be honest with you. I know that's not a great answer. But I feel like they've been close for weeks now.
You think they've been close? I guess your definition of close, if both offers are true, what are they, $3 million apart annually? A little more than that?
Right.
No, a little more than that, right?
Oh, it was three, I think.
Okay.
I think we determined that. And I guess I say close because they're still, if you believe the reports, that they're still talking, that they haven't closed the door on it.
Yeah.
So it's still a possibility. I guess I define all of that as close. I still am not convinced that it's going to get done, though, right now.
Me neither. Especially not for 100 mil plus. I'm just not. I hope I'm wrong. I do. I hope I'm dead wrong.
And maybe I'm reading too much into seeing all the videos and pictures of Brian Reynolds and Bob Nutting being really chummy at spring training.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah, I saw those a couple weeks ago. I mean... You know, he was at batting practice or whatever, and those guys were talking. It might not mean a thing. They could have been talking about the weather. Who knows? But, you know, I don't know. I don't get the sense from the outside that this is a totally, you know, these two sides are really far apart and that this is never going to happen.
I hope you're right, Fulzy. I do, because I like Brian Reynolds. I just don't like him necessarily for the next, you know, 8 years.
8 years. And I don't think they're going to go 8 years.
Meanwhile, I teased to a Bud Dupree photo. It's of Bud Dupree. That's important, but what's more important is it's Bud Dupree in Pittsburgh on his Instagram account, which means, presumably, since it's dated from today, that he's here today visiting the Steelers. Some people love this idea. Jerry Dulac is a big fan of this idea, as he wrote on his weekly mailbag. I'm not for anything more than a really bargain basement rate of about $3.5 million. But he's here. It sounds and just seems like there's heavy interest on his part. And obviously, if he's here, there's interest on the Steelers' part. He's a guy that's been hurt. He's a guy that's been unproductive. And he's a guy that's now how old? He's pushing 30, right? Now, for a backup edge rusher, I will say there were times when I watched Tennessee last year where he was disruptive. I don't hate the idea. I just don't like it for more than a really low rate. You?
I agree with that entirely. I think he can still be a guy that's got some left in the tank. I just don't want him out there on even 50% of the plays. Like, I want him to be in very specific situations where it's third and long or whatever, or Highsmith. I mean, we know that Highsmith and Watt both come out and check themselves out of games.
Yeah.
Because they're out of breath. You know, so those situations where I don't want him taking more than, you know, 40% of the snaps, and he can come in and just go after the quarterback. Do what you do best. Get after the guy with the ball. I'm okay with it at $3 million a year. Anything more than that, though, is risky. And anything more than, certainly more than 2 years, maybe even 1 year, I wouldn't do.
Oh, me neither. This is, he's, whether Bud likes it or not, the miles and the injuries have put him in a Justin Houston position. And Houston basically goes year to year with new contracts. And you know what?
He's still good.
He's still out there, too. He last year, Justin Houston, 1 year, $3.5 million from the Ravens, and he delivered 9.5 sacks. It's a specialized role. You're a pinch hitter. You're coming in to tackle the guy in the backfield who's about to throw the ball, period. That's what you do. Now, if T.J. Watt gets injured again, it becomes a bigger role, and I think Bud Dupree could be, well, anybody could be a major upgrade on what they had last year. And the year before, a guy quit the team, but they have to bring somebody in. I'm just not sure this is the right one. And I don't want Bud Dupree at $5 or $6 million a year. I don't think it's worth it. I think it's a mistake. Three and a half, yes.
I agree with that. And it's not like Highsmith is above injury as well, because he's had his times and his throughout his career where he's been injured too. And that's an important position. I mean, it's important to have depth there. That's why they brought in Malik Reed last year, and he didn't really, you know, pan out the way that they wanted to, I don't think.
Right.
But they recognize that that's a position that you need depth.
Let's talk about O'Neal Cruz next. We talked about the Reynolds situation. What about Cruz? When should the Pirates make a move? Should it be a Wander Franco-like move where you go for $180 million over 11 years, which, you know, averages out to? It could be a bargain in the very near future, or it could be horrendous. Let's talk about that at 412-928-9370. Cook and Joe. Pirates opening day lineup is out. We'll be analyzing that a little bit more at the top of the hour. Jerry Dulac confirms the Bud Dupree news that he's visiting with the Steelers today to discuss possible reunion. Man, would that be an interesting story. I didn't think Bud Dupree would sign before Brian Reynolds, but here we go, Pulsey. That could happen today. You think he leaves the building with a contract?
I think so.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. I think it's going to happen.
Tomlin always loved him, right?
Yeah. T.J. Watt loved him.
I think he will, too. If they, if their medical people determine that he is in good health, he's leaving with a contract.
As long as he passes a physical, all that good stuff.
You think he'll be happy to be a backup? I mean, it has to be obvious to him.
Yeah, right. I mean, I would hope that they lay out the situation for him.
Well, they've been known to mislead some people, at least according to those people.
That's why I say I hope. Like Melvin Ingram and, is that Melvin is the first name? Yeah, Melvin. And James Harrison and, you know,
yeah,
others.
My daughter's calling me. Her and my wife seem to not know that I do a radio show.
From 10 to 2.
There it is. Can you hear it, Volsey? I should put her on the air right now.
Should.
Do you have that clip, by the way, the NCAA tournament clip I gave you a couple weeks ago of her when she was 4 years old making a prediction? of Pitt and American to play in the national final.
No, I don't think you sent it to
me. Yeah, we ran that on the air.
Really?
One year. It was amazing. Pitt versus American. And I interviewed her. She was 4 years old. I said, why do you think American is going to the national title game? And she said, because we live in America. Very sound reasoning, I thought.
Yeah.
Speaking of contracts, O'Neill Cruz. The Tampa Bay Rays, who are in the very same stratosphere, a low one, as the Pirates when it comes to doling out dollars, doled out 182 of them, million of them, to Wander Franco. Can you imagine if they signed him to an 11-year, $182 contract? That might have been an offer.
Let's start there.
Yeah, let's start there. A dollar less than, I don't even know what that would be. What is that, $16 a year?
I don't know.
$182 million over 11 years. I don't think the kid had played a major league game, Folsy. But he took that deal, and then he goes out and breaks his hamate bone and gets injured in other ways and has a horrible season. And now I see where he was having leg issues going into this season, but he seems to be healthy. But those hamate wrist injuries you just never know about. Would you do this with Cruz right now? If you could sign him to the Franco deal today, if him and his people said yes, would you do it?
Hit me with the numbers one more time.
11-182.
11-182.
This is like when Ron goes to the...
I know, sorry.
Goes to his calendar or something, his little notes.
I'm sorry. $16.5 million?
I mean, that could be a bargain.
Could be.
It's also... Well, what do we care?
It's not my money.
It's not that much money either by Major League Baseball standards. Over 11 years?
11
for a franchise that's worth, every franchise in the league is worth $1 billion or way, way more. The Kansas City Royals sold for $1 billion. The Miami Marlins barely exist and might not for long, and they sold for over $1 billion. So these franchise values, record revenues, record contracts, record TV deals, $182 million. It's peanuts over 11 years. Would you make that offer?
I would do it. Yeah, I would make that offer. I don't know if Cruz would take it, though.
That's the thing. And it's the same thing with Reynolds. When you decline an offer of, let's say, I don't care, 70, 80, 100 million, let alone 180. You have to have all these things go your way. A, you got to stay healthy and produce. Can't get a big injury, especially not, obviously not a, career threatening type thing, but you got to stay healthy. You're betting on yourself to then produce big time to where you can outdo that deal with somebody else.
Yep.
And you're betting on yourself to be healthy and productive for, in Cruz's case, how many more years of control? 5 or something that they have of him? 6 maybe? You're betting on a long time. Secondly, you're betting that there's another team out there who will absolutely outdo that. Like for Reynolds, for example. You're betting, there's a team out there that when I turn 30 or 32, whatever it's going to be, 32 or 33 really, that somebody out there is going to pay me more than the $90 million the Pirates are off. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things, and it's like a game show. It really is. It's like Deal or No Deal. So you have, let's go back to Cruz. Let's say the Pirates made this offer. Who's the host of Deal or No Deal? That bald guy, right?
Yeah.
What's his name?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Telly Savalas?
Howie Mandel?
Howie Mandel. Says to O'Neill Cruz, and he's standing up there on the stage. He has a lifeline. He's going to use Ron as his lifeline, I think. Or Pomp, probably. They probably have each other's numbers, right?
That'd be a nice voice to listen to, Pomp.
Pomp has everybody's number. So Howie Mandel, is that his name?
I think so.
Says to Cruz,
I might be wrong.
You got $182 million guaranteed. Nobody's ever going to touch it. Nobody. It's guaranteed. You and your next several generations are taken care of forever. Or you can go for more. Bet that you'll stay healthy. Bet that you'll become a superstar. Bet that other teams will be highly interested by the time you're done here. All of that. It's a tough call. Would you agree?
A very tough call.
For him.
I mean, and especially being so young, you see somebody flashes $182 million in your face.
Right.
I mean, that takes a lot of guts to say no to that.
It's basically the rest of your career. It'll be your one big con. How old is he? 23, 24? Something like that?
Yeah. I mean, it's life-changing money right there.
It's life-changing. It'll also be the last big deal of his career, very likely. The first and last. And McCutchen probably cost himself $100 million by taking, I think it was a six-year, $51.5 million deal from the Pirates before he became the superstar he was, right? So
yeah.
he didn't come out of it struggling for money, but he did make a horrible decision that cost him $100 million.
Yeah, and I think there was some in there, too, of being the face of this franchise, of being the guy to bring winning here to the city that I think he considered in that contract as well.
I think that he thought they would always take care of him.
Yeah, and he was kind of mistaken in that. For O'Neill Cruz, I mean, he's 24 years old. I mean,
that's his career.
What's it like for renegotiation? I mean, baseball contracts really don't do that, at least as much as football.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
Because I know in the NFL, I mean, there's restructuring that happens all the time.
O'Neill Cruz, if he becomes what some people think, let's say he's a 30-30 guy. What if he becomes a 40-40 guy? I'll remind you again, stolen bases were up 50% during spring training. Then he becomes a $40 million player. Instead of a $16 million, like he could cost himself hundreds of millions of dollars.
There's that. And there's also the fact that he only hit .233 last year with a .744 OPS.
I know. There's a risk on the Pirates' part.
And on his part, what if he never figures it out at the major league level to the point where he gets more than $16 million per year?
That's what he's betting on in Howie Mandel's offer there.
That's right.
What would you do? What would you advise him to do if you were Cruz's agent?
Oh, man.
Right now.
Oh.
What would you do if you were Reynolds' agent? For me, it's an easy call on both. If I'm Cruz, forget it. I'm not taking that deal. I'm betting on myself. I'm not signing one contract in my whole career, even if it is $182 million, because I think I can outdo that by at least $150 million if I become the guy I think I can. If I'm Reynolds, I take $90 million and above
me
in a
too.
Second.
Me too.
Because I'm older, simply put.
I'm pushing 30, and I don't think if you're Reynolds that you're going to explode for like a 35, 40 home run season where you're this, you know, true MVP candidate.
Yeah.
I don't see that in his future. I would take that deal for Cruz. I would still think about taking it. I would, because it's $182 million right on the table, but I hear what you're saying about putting it off and betting on yourself, especially at such a young age.
If I'm Cruz, all my best seasons are in front of me. If I'm Reynolds,
I think my
best season is behind me, and it was 2 years ago when he was an MVP. At least he got votes, you know. I think that might have been it. Could be wrong, but it's interesting to think about, isn't
it? Yes, it is.
Who knows? Maybe if Mackey's right, we'll get some news on the Reynolds front today. 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. Silverado's, Colorado's back in stock with a great selection. Stop in and online at sunchevy.com. Today, mostly sunny and a high of 52, so... Coming up, let's go back to our Pirate predictions. We get one chance to do this. 412-928-9370. We're going to log calls while we talk to Mike McHenry, the Fort. We're going to talk to him next about what he expects from this Pirate season, what he makes of the opening day lineup. But we want to hear you simply line up with a win total. That's it. It's very simple. We've had a ton of people call today. It began very optimistically in the high 70s. We had one guy, we questioned his sobriety, who picked 88 wins. I've got 74. Folsey's got 73. Ron has 72. I think most people are in the low 70s. We'll continue that conversation as well. It's Cook and Joe.
The Fort!
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.